It's hard to believe that it's 6 years ago that we visited St. Andrews for the first time. It was shortly after Marilyn and I returned from leading our trip to Israel. On Sunday, July 27th, I stood in that lectern for the very first time, having been invited by the search committee to see if we might be a fit for your new rector. I was a guest preacher, and the message and the gospel are the same as that year on the sixth Sunday of Pentecost. 6 wonderful years can provide us growth and insight, a deeper knowledge of God's plan for all of us and all of our lives. And it can also open our eyes to a painful truth that comes along with the gospel. In this holy gospel reading, Jesus sat in a boat and spoke to all those who gathered to hear him speak. And he told them the parable of the soils, which is also known as the parable of the sower. And Jesus reminds us that the kingdom of God is an open invitation to anyone who is willing to receive it, whose heart has been prepared by the Holy Spirit and is ready to repent and accept Jesus as Lord of their life. It's our job as followers of Jesus Christ to be sowing the seed of the one true gospel, which is the saving grace of God through the true repentance and forgiveness of our sins and the power of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Time and time again, we've talked about the fact that there are some people who never accept Jesus' invitation, or even worse still, only partially accept it, plugging in their own truths or whatever the current society dictates instead of Jesus' truth. And just as the seed falls on different soils, so will his gospel. Some of that seed will take root and it will flourish, while some will wither and die. You know, there's a path from the Mount of Beatitudes that follows down to Tabgha. Tabgha is the place of the feeding of the 5,000, and it's also the place where the risen Jesus cooked breakfast in John chapter 21 for the apostles. But as you walk along that path, there are these volcanic rock, and you see the soils, the different kinds of soils, the path where something's going to grow for just a bit, then the rocky soil, and then you see the good soil. It's amazing, and it just comes to mind when you read Scripture. It does come to life when you have the privilege and the blessing to go and see where the gospel happened. But, you know, some of that seed is going to grasp and take root. Some of it's going to wither and die. And just like those who fail to fully see the truth and acknowledge Jesus as Lord, that Jesus is God, and that we are all sinners and in dire need of a Savior. And that Savior is only one person, and it's the God-man, Jesus of Nazareth. The reality is that not everyone will be saved, and that hurts when you think about that. And it's not an easy thing to hear. And it can be horrifying to think that there are some who will not spend eternity with Jesus. And knowing that there is absolutely nothing, nothing that we can do to save a soul. But it's true that each one of us can try to help to change the situation. And that's true because we're called to tell the truth anyway. Even though, you know, it's like in baseball. To be a million-dollar baseball player, you have to fail 7 times out of 10. To be a 300 hitter, I'm talking baseball because Peyton's here as acolyte this morning, and he loves baseball. So do I. You know that. You've seen all the stuff in my office. You have to fail 7 times out of 10 to be a 300 hitter. And then you're a 300 hitter. Boy, is that a payday. Now, George knows what I'm talking about. His granddaughter, Riley, is an awesome softball player, scouted by colleges across the South. God bless her. And if you go into baseball in a situation knowing that you will fail 7 times out of 10, and even a pitcher, it's not going to get everybody out. You know, there's got to be 27 outs in a game. And it's hard. Are there any baseball fans here? A couple, right? Yeah, we're all happy that there's some baseball that's going to be happening. I'm sneaking a peek here and there at the workouts that are taking place. But, you know, it's just a diversion. But we need to realize that, like this 300 hitter is going to fail seven times, we don't have power to bring a fallen soul to Christ. But we should still take the opportunity to tell them. To tell them the truth. And the easiest way that we can do that in sowing a seed is to tell them what Jesus has done in our life. How he has shown us the truth and the love that only he can give. But then, once we have planted that seed, realize that like that 300 hitter is going to fail 7 times out of 10, we need to know that there's nothing that we can do to save their soul. We need to pray. Once we have given them the truth, we pray for the Holy Spirit to take root in their hearts, to crack open that kernel of truth and help it to grow. Besides the seed, we're called to nourish and to help people grow through witness, good example, through patience and love. And that's where we come in. Are we going to be successful all the time? No. There are some times where, pardon the expression, we will crash and burn. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect. And there will be times that things don't fall in our favor. But we need to leave it to God because we don't have the power to take care of that. We are blessed to live in a part of a country that is remarkably familiar with seeds. What a seed does, how far you can go to help that seed. When you plant a seed, when you plant that crop, you don't have the power to make it grow. Just like when you tell someone about Christ, when you introduce them to the gospel, you don't make them come to Christ, as I said. You introduce them to the truth, and then you pray that the Holy Spirit will somehow miraculously work in their lives. We can come alongside them as Christians as best we can to help nourish them, but we can't crack open that seed. If you're saying, well, Father John is repeating himself. No, I'm repeating the truth over and over and over again that we need to know that like that 300 hitter, we're not always going to see the fruit take place. The Holy Spirit does the impossible, the remarkable, the miraculous. And that's why we have to trust in the Holy Spirit, that the invitation that has been given will be opened and be a part of their life forevermore. And again, unfortunately, there are some people who think that simply by praying a prayer, you'll get to heaven. Well, it's an important and powerful step in knowing Jesus, but it's only part of the nourishment of that seed that's planted, which is broken open by the Holy Spirit to sprout and take life. Just praying a prayer alone would be like seeing the seed falling into one of the four soils. And think about those soils, the path, the rocky ground, the thorns, and the good soil. The environment, the life of the very heart of a believer is the soil in which the seed falls. Just praying a prayer alone would be like the seed falling upon the rocky soil. And unless there's a change of heart and behavior, with a willingness to submit to Jesus as Lord, that, my friends, is called faith. Faith needs to come in. But if you are the same person doing the same old things, the same old behavior that you did before you met Jesus, then there has been no growth, no transformation, and no root. I asked you this question just a few weeks ago. Who are you when no one is looking? Think about that again. Are you the same person that you are here in church today? Or are you a little different when you're with your friends? I want you to listen to what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. We have got to give Jesus permission to change us, to transform us and make us to grow more like him. That's not just permission, but that's submission to him as Lord. So let me ask you, are you the same person doing the same old things that you did before you met Jesus? And I really pray that you are not. Spreading the word of God is a charge that each and every believer was given when the risen Jesus stood on a mountain in the Galilee and said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." That's Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. This great commissioning helps not only to spread the seed, but to help prepare the soil and to nurture the growth that God has enabled. The work of the people of God, the body of Christ, is to help water and feed whom he has called and whom he has chosen to be his, those with ears to hear his message and to hear and understand the holy word of God. Our response as members of Christ's church, who were one time seedlings ourselves, is to bear the fruit of his love and mission to others. In today's Old Testament lesson from Isaiah, some say Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 13, God reminds us that he expects to see the effects of his works. He says this in Isaiah 55, 10 to 11, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." God's investment is in you, in all of us, is the most costly of all, that of his Son, Jesus Christ. His expectation of us is costly as well. He expects us to give us his all, our everything to him, by not just calling him Lord, but by treating him as Lord. None of us are perfect, but Jesus has given us the grace by which we can come to him, seeking his forgiveness when we fall, seeking his guidance to change our behavior and to grow in him. Now, once the seed is sown, the body of Christ has got to assist in growing of the seedling. And that, my friends, is where we all come in. And it's not just for the growth of others, but for our own growth as well. Coming to church on a Sunday or watching the church on video, as we have had to do during this COVID time, is wonderful. But it does not or should not end there. Coming to church on Sunday does not make you a Christian. We're called to be in relationship with one another, spending time in God's Word, sharing and praying with one another. 6 years ago, on the 27th of July, I got my first taste of the passing of the peace at St. Andrew's. It's a little different now due to the COVID and the masks and all of that. But once we're freed to be able to engage with one another, as I saw 6 years ago and as I have continually seen since then, I saw a parish family that loves one another so deeply. I said at that time, Marilyn and I came, and not only were you checking us out, but we were checking you out. And it was at that time I said, "You don't come to Douglas for the shopping. You come to," not yet, they're building, but not, you know, "you don't come to Douglas for the shopping. You come to Douglas for the people, for the relationships. That's why we're here. We're a parish family. We gather together in fellowship and an opportunity to let the light of Christ shine in one another and to others around us, using the blessings that the Holy Spirit has bestowed upon you for his glory and for his kingdom. It ain't about us. It's about him. Everything that we think, do, and say as the body of Christ has to do with the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're blessed to be in good soil. And we must help to nurture those seeds who pop up along the way by the grace of God, and to help them flourish and grow in Him to bear fruit themselves. And so I want to encourage you, keep spreading the news. In closing, we're each called to speak to others about the blessing of Christ's community in which God has planted you. You didn't happen here by accident. We didn't happen here by accident. You came to this place because God called you. I came to this place because God called me and Marilyn. As I've said many times before, it could be on a socially distanced line at Harvey's or Walmart, and it quite often is not what you say, but how you say and carry yourself. We can help to guide others towards Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. He indeed is the narrow gate. And Jesus told us in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7:13-14, all a part of the Sermon on the Mount. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it, for the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Keep spreading the news and help us to watch the seeds grow together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.